Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit honda.com/prologue to learn more.
The look between William and Kate, it wasn't fleeting. And so it goes from a little look, and then Kate's smile broadens, and it's lovely. And it's very much a welcome back. Good to have you back.
Of course, you can hide how you feel with hair and makeup, and, you know, you can put on a brave face, but you've got to think about how she's feeling inside. And she just showed that amazing duty, doesn't she? She just always steps up and does her job. And it was important because it was a balcony moment. And they do go down in history.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to A Right Royal Podcast with me, Andrea.
And me, Emmy.
It's been an unforgettable week as the royals are truly back out in force.
Yes, it all kicked off on Friday with a message from the Princess of Wales, which she released alongside a new photo giving an update about her health and confirming that she would be attending Trooping the Colour alongside her family.
It was so exciting. And on Saturday, the Princess looked really happy alongside her family. We'll be talking all about the King's Birthday Parade in this episode.
Amongst many other things, including the Order of the Garter and the incredibly busy June that the royal family still have ahead of them. We will be welcoming royal photographer James Watling live from Royal Ascot and Max Foster, CNN anchor and correspondent.
But now, let's kick things off with our very own Mystic Meg herself, who predicted Kate's appearance last week. Hello's royal editor, Emily Nash.
Welcome, Emily.
Hello.
Tell me all about your predictions and what came to pass.
Look, I think I gave it a 10% chance that she might appear. Yeah, initially. But
so you're a weather person.
We talked about, well, it's interesting because, you know, as with the weather forecast, things become more apparent the closer they come. But if you remember on our last episode, we had the lovely Lizzie Robinson with us. And we were talking about the fact that this would actually be a great moment for Kate to make an appearance if she was feeling well enough, because, you know, the kids are there, it's a family occasion, and it really would, I guess, fill a bit of a gap that there's been for the family publicly, I suppose. And it was a good opportunity to give people an update.
I just never thought that she was actually going to go, Emily. So I do think you're in tune with the royals and how they operate, that's for sure.
Well, look, I think it was very obvious that it was only going to be a last minute decision and based on whether or not she...
And last minute it was.
Well, and based on whether or not she felt well enough, but possibly they had been thinking about it for a while. I certainly had conversations in the week leading up to it where no one wanted to say who the children would be travelling with. And that's what made me think, okay, well, they're not going to be on their own.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But look, it was great to see her. And I think that the way they managed it was really interesting as well. They put out this beautiful photo by Matt Porteous, and then they followed it up with this very personal, intimate message from her, just updating people really in a really kind of direct and personal way, which really helps with the whole messaging around this. It wasn't a statement from the palace, it was from her directly, and it was talking about how she felt. And I think it really resonated with so many people. In fact, quite a few cancer charities have come out and said that her speaking like this and then making that appearance will really encourage other cancer patients and give them hope, but also help them to feel heard, I guess, you know, for the ones who are having a bad day and who don't feel up to going out or putting on a brave face. I think the fact that she acknowledged that was really important.
Now, I was certain that she would make an appearance because I'm super mega positive. But when I spoke to other people, they were like, well, Charles, would he really want to share the spotlight? And I just feel they don't know Charles because he would
not.
Who
was saying that?
Well, a lot of people were like, no, it's his big birthday parade. He won't want to share the spotlight. And it's like, well, no, Charles is not petty. You know, he cares about his family. He cares deeply about the Waleses. He is undergoing cancer treatment himself. And of course, he's going to welcome his daughter-in-law.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, a spokesman from the King said he was delighted that she was going to be there and he was really looking forward to it. She said she was really looking forward to it. And actually, it was great, even though on the day there was quite bad weather. And we'll go into that later with some of our guests. They all seem to be very happy to be back there together as a big family unit.
And Charles made a significant change in the balcony.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure how much any of these things are choreographed, but he did stand alongside the princess. I think in the last couple of years, he's been standing next to William. And I think that was really lovely to see. They obviously have a really warm relationship. Yeah. They were chatting away on the balcony and they have experienced something that no other members of the immediate family have. They're going through this thing together. We know that they spent time having bedside chats when they were both in hospital at the beginning of the year. So I think it really shows the mutual support and concern they have for one another.
So I was in Italy whilst all this was happening.
Of course you were.
I miss Trooping the Colour. What were some of the highlights? I mean, I've already seen the photos of the kids, but it seems like they were having a lot of fun with one another, especially Charlotte and Louis. So what can you tell us? Some highlights for you, Emily.
So yeah, it looked a bit different this year because they were in carriages with roofs on, which was a good idea.
Yes.
Because the weather was absolutely abysmal at point.
Oh, it wasn't where I was.
No, right. Okay, we'll gloss over that, Em. The weather was pretty miserable. So they weren't in the Ascot Landau as they normally ride in, but we did get great views of everyone through the glass. There was one really lovely moment as they rode back towards the palace in this incredible downpour and Charlotte wiped the condensation off the inside of the windows just so people could see in. And I thought that was,
it's beautiful,
you know,
yeah.
Just goes to show what a pro she already is at the age of 9.
I can't wait till she's like way older. I mean, what is she going to bring to the table? She already is.
Well, she's
incredible.
She's obviously got a strong personality. And Louis, again, didn't disappoint, although he was more active on the balcony of the Major General's office, which is where they watch the actual ceremony. It's sort of overlooking Horse Guards Parade. And there was a song called Highland Laddie played by the band. And he started just doing this shimmy. I'm doing it now. I'm sorry you can't hear my movements, listeners. Anyway, it was a really lovely moment because, you know, Trooping the Colour is an incredible ceremonial spectacle, but I think we all love these little informal moments from the family too.
Now, straight from Trooping, you went to Windsor.
Yes, I was at Windsor for Garter Day, which, I mean, if we're talking about full-on ceremonial traditions, it doesn't get much more traditional than this. And this is a day that celebrates the Order of the Garter. It's the oldest and highest form of Order of Chivalry in the UK. And it actually looks a bit like a scene from some kind of medieval painting. You have knights and ladies of the Garter walking down the hill from the Castle Quadrangle to St. George's Chapel in their full regalia. And this is floor-length blue velvet robes. They wear a gold chain. They have these plumed velvet hats. It's quite a sight to behold. And then in front of them, you have a marching band, you have military knights of Windsor, and you have people in heraldic costumes. So I mean, almost looks a little bit like something out of Alice in Wonderland, but a really lovely day. The sun was out, thank goodness. They go into St. George's Chapel. They have an hour-long service and the king installs new knights or ladies. They only have 24 at one time, plus royal knights and ladies. And then afterwards, they go back up to the castle in horse-drawn carriages. So it's a really interesting ceremony. Someone asked me yesterday why they still do it. And I guess the answer is, if you've been doing something for 700 years, why not just carry on?
So which members of the royal family were there?
So the king and queen were at the head of the royal contingent there. You had Prince William, Princess Anne and Edward, the Duke of Edinburgh. And then watching them from the Galilee porch, which is by the side of the procession route, the Duchess of Edinburgh and Vice Admiral Tim Lawrence, Princess Anne's husband. That's normally where Kate would be.
Right.
And we were told, obviously, that she wasn't going to be attending either Garter Day or Ascot this week, which is absolutely in line with our expectations. She may attend things in the coming weeks when she feels up to it and depending on her medical advice, but she wasn't there yesterday. So it was a smaller group. You may remember going back to 2019, I think, there was a whole host of European royals that came
Felipe,
over to take part in Garter Day. So it can be really quite a big turnout. But yeah, look, I always get the impression that Prince William is not loving wearing all the velvet.
See, I think that's the main reason he goes.
Well, I do wonder if it will still look like that in years to come, whether there'll be a change to the garter ceremony. I wrote about this in my newsletter this week that while it does look like it's still something from the 14th century, they have updated it a little bit. You'll be pleased to know that they no longer have to wear Tudor undergarments under their velvet robes. Since the middle of last century, they updated it to mourning dress.
They are so modern.
They are so modern.
Wow, welcome to the 21st century,
I know,
guys.
Well, and I have to say, I'm always a little bit nervous for them because some of the knights and ladies of the garter are fairly in advanced years, shall we say. And it was very warm in winter, so much that one of the streetliners, one of the military guys lining the procession route, had to be pulled away just before they came down the hill because it's so hot.
So what did the Tudor garments usually look like? I mean, what's the deal there?
I mean, a lady never tells him.
It's so funny that they don't wear them. Like, no one would see them anyway.
No, well, look, I think this is dating back to the 50s and 60s. So thankfully, we've never had to wonder too much about that. But I think suffice to say that these traditions take quite a long time to change.
Now, we haven't mentioned Prince Andrew, but he was there in some capacity.
So Prince Andrew, yes, absolutely was there. He attended the lunch, but he does not take part in any of the public elements of this day. So traditionally, he would have walked down the hill too and been part of that service. But obviously, now that he no longer plays a role in public life, that's off the table.
Was Prince Edward there?
Yeah. Prince Edward's taking part.
How's he getting on?
He was looking very chipper.
Oh, it's a special week for
we
the Edinburghs.
We should mention this.
Is that why you're asking, Emily?
It's a fantastic link there, Em.
Just remind me what that thing is.
Well, Edward and Sophie are celebrating 25 years of marriage.
Oh, that is lovely.
On the 19th.
And I'll admit that I didn't foresee that one. I'm not as Mystic Meg as Emily is, but that's really nice to hear. They're such a good couple.
They are. They do seem to be getting on very well, and hopefully we'll see a few outings of them at Ascot this week.
Now, tell us about Ascot, because after this, you'll be having a really good week. You're going to Ascot.
I am going to Royal Ascot.
With your fellow royal correspondent friends, but we're not going, Emmy.
Alas, we'll just be in this room, in this podcast room.
Until I get back.
Until we get back, we'll just wait for you.
It's always a real privilege to go along to Royal Ascot. And of course, it's not quite the same since the late Queen passed because it was so synonymous with her. Mm. But King Charles and Queen Camilla have really sort of stepped up to give a real presence at Royal Ascot. So they're both going to be there for most of the week. I think the King's only missing one day. And it's lovely to see that, you know, because they have inherited the Queen's horses. That's a huge undertaking. And it's something that perhaps might not have come naturally to Charles, but he is continuing to honour. So it's just a fantastic event and the people watching is off the scale.
I love the pictures that come from Ascot. I love seeing King Charles greeting his nieces, the hugs, the kisses. It just feels less formal and more fun. I remember a time when Mike Tyndall did a little joke on the Queen. That was so funny with the little hat.
Exactly.
He took his top hat and he got something
out. He removed
out.
His top hat. Yeah. And it had another one underneath, like a lady's hat.
Yeah, and she found it very amusing.
The Queen did.
Yeah.
I loved it. So I loved it when she found things funny. It was
so
rare.
She was often, I think, more authentically herself at the races than anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, some of the photographs looking into the royal box during horse racing events were just so funny of her getting so, so excited and emotional, possibly more emotional than we ever saw her.
It's like seeing Catherine at Wimbledon. They're in their natural habitat. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, and these things are staples of the royal calendar. So it's lovely when they come around and it's just nice to be able to do some stuff outdoors where it's not raining for about 4 hours a day.
When's the summer coming? Now let's talk more about this week because there's actually so much going on. We've got Prince William going to the football on the eve of his 42nd birthday. What a treat.
Well, let's hope England win for his sake. Yeah, I think that's great. It's a good sign that he is heading off, doing a bit more. Now we've seen, obviously, that Kate is doing well enough to make the odd appearance. That's really an encouraging sign. And obviously, as president of the FA, you know, it's only fair that he should get to go along and watch these things.
And now the Princess of Wales, it is actually a bit of a special week for her in terms that her parents are celebrating their wedding anniversary, but also her dad, Michael Middleton, is celebrating his 75th birthday, which is quite the milestone. Now, we haven't seen the Middletons a lot since Christmas. They've clearly been dedicated to helping their daughter navigate her cancer diagnosis. We know that they're a very close family unit. It's just a special week, probably, for her.
Yeah, look, and we saw how happy the princess was on the balcony with her children and her husband and the wider royal family. Family is absolutely central to her life.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she'll be joining some celebrations
yes.
for them. And at the end of the day, when you are going through something like this,
yeah.
it's the people that you love the most that you want yeah. surrounding you. And you want to make the most of these opportunities.
I'm envisioning a barbecue. I'm sorry, but we haven't had sun here for months. And this week is suddenly so sunny. So I hope you enjoy your barbecue if you are having one.
Or the Middletons.
yeah. I totally see them having a barbecue, don't
I
you?
I bet they've got an egg, like a really nice, fancy
oh,
barbecue.
Oh, yeah, like the Beckhams smoker. Have one.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to send us one,
we'll try it.
Yeah, our office addresses are on our signatures.
Emmy's got a new house.
yes,
now,
I
before
do.
We welcome our guests, what are we thinking for the rest of the summer? Because obviously we're still recording. There's still a lot going on. But what are you most excited about?
Look, I think all these summer events that are coming up, Ascot is one of them, obviously. We have a state visit coming up
oh,
from
yes.
the Emperor and Empress of Japan. That will be a very significant moment. And then, of course, outings. There are lots of things in the diary. The King and Queen are going to Jersey and Guernsey.
Oh, yeah.
They're going up to Scotland. It's going to be a slightly reduced diary in Scotland because it falls in election week. And let's
oh, yeah.
not forget that because this the election is imminent, a lot of activities have had to be slightly scaled down because in theory they mustn't be seen to be overshadowing or distracting anyone from the campaign. I'm sure quite a few of us would actually prefer to be distracted
yeah.
from the campaign. So they're very, very busy. And as I was saying, you know, King Charles popped up at the Cartier Queen's Cup polo.
Oh my God, he looks so good, can I just
say? On Saturday, yeah, looking very dapper
sunnies.
In his linen suit and his sunglasses on. This is someone who's undergoing cancer treatment. I mean, I dread to think how busy he's going to be when he gets back to a full schedule.
Yeah.
He was never one to take things slow, though, was he, Charles?
No.
I think even ill and getting treatment, he was raring to go. So I don't know. I think it's just such a positive sign that more and more is going into his diary.
Yeah, look, I think it's good news all around. You know, the princess said she's not out of the woods yet, but it's really encouraging to have had her back, however briefly. And we get a sense that hopefully by the end of the year, things will be
yeah.
relatively back to normal.
Fingers
God,
crossed.
Now, shall we welcome our first guest?
Yes, let's do that. It's very exciting. It's someone who has gone from the tropical downpours of Cooping McCullough to the sunnier climes of Royal Ascot. Let's welcome Royal Photographer James Watling.
Welcome
back to the podcast, James. We're so happy that you can join us. And thank you so much for dialing in from Royal Ascot this morning.
Ooh. Much more glam than our studio.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a lovely morning. And for once, it's not going to rain, hopefully.
We heard the sun had come out. That must be very lovely for you guys.
Yeah, it shines on the righteous.
James, going back to trooping, obviously we had that fantastic announcement on the eve of that the princess mm-hmm. was going to be attending. What difference did that make to you standing on the very wet? We also talk about how wet you got on the Queen Victoria Memorial.
Oh my, what a day.
Oh my God, it was awful. What did it mean? Oh, I don't know. I guess it meant that it was a bit too much of a level playing field for me, if I'm honest. I like it when there's jeopardy and some people will miss things. I mean, it's kind of unexpected,
yeah.
if I'm honest. You know, there's always chatter amongst these
well,
things.
You and I had a lot of chatter about it last week.
We yeah. did. And it was always, well, I can't see her going. And oh, it's quite a lot of scrutiny for someone who's not been very well and suddenly to be thrust back into that. But ultimately, it's excitement. It's somebody that, you know, I've photographed for however long. A long, long time. And then you go a period of time without seeing them. And it is kind of strange. So there was definitely a buzz.
But great to see her again.
Absolutely. And also to see her looking so well.
Yeah.
Like she'd never been away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wonder, you said you captured her for years. How different was it for you capturing her this past weekend? Or was it just like any other time that you've captured her? She was just back to her top form.
It wasn't different in terms of her. No, she definitely looks absolutely as stunning as ever. And she does. She just takes these things in her stride. But for us, definitely different because, I don't know, there's almost a bit of a merry-go-round. And every week you have an engagement or two and you see her and it just rolls on. But with this gap, very much like COVID, it makes you wonder about, you know, obviously you question it and are we ever, you know, what's happening? We don't know how unwell she is.
Mm.
And so it's nice to have that continuity to go back to normal and to see her again.
She's almost sort of become a bit of a mystical figure recently, hasn't she? Just the, you know, how long she was gone for. Yeah. And we were so used to seeing her all the time that it's like now a sighting of her, it does feel different somehow. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. And there's all the talk and there's all the internet stuff and the speculation. And that doesn't help anyone, I'm sure. So, yeah, it's good to put that to bed. And then I posted an Instagram post and it was just, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And it has, you know, it's nice. It's nice to get back to normal.
I want to talk about the balcony moment, because obviously that's a highlight. And when you were credited, your position was in the Queen Victoria Memorial. So, you know, that is what you wanted to capture mainly, I'm assuming, you know, the balcony moment. How was the balcony moment this year? And I'm wondering if you noticed the position that Kate was in this year, which is very different to any other year.
Well, yeah, I mean, they pick their sides. I'm not sure that, I don't know if there's any rehearsal that goes on with these things. They tend to just sort of pick wherever they are, but there's so few, having come from many, many Trooping the Colours, where there were a great deal of members of the royal family, you know, suddenly with the slimming down of the monarchy, it does make it slightly easier because there's a lot more space on the balcony.
Yeah.
But obviously her juxtaposition right next to the king, I think that was probably on purpose. They were exchanging little glances and words and this, that and the other, maybe some encouragement. Nobody knows, I guess. So I don't know whether that was important. Other than that, it was a pretty steady balcony.
Prince Louis was very well behaved.
He was very, you know, he's a year older. You know what it's like, Emily, we've got children. When they're younger, they're loose cannons.
And
as they get
some.
Older, they kind of understand. And obviously he did have big sister next to him, didn't he? She was definitely keeping him in line.
I feel very much like Louis had perhaps had a little bit of a discussion with everyone before they put
with
him
everyone,
on the balcony.
With Charlotte, you mean?
With all of them, but there were moments where...
Well, I wouldn't cross Charlotte, would you? I mean,
no.
she's formidable.
I felt like he was concentrating quite hard on maybe what he'd been told not to do.
Yeah.
Charlotte is like a little Princess Anne, I think. I was looking at the lip reading of what she was saying to Louis, and it was like, you stopped that at once. And it was just like, wow. You're like, how old is she?
She's nine.
She's nine.
She's your typical big sister. I'm sorry. I've been there. I'll have a big sister. She's your typical big sister.
I am the big sister. So,
Emily, you should identify
sorry,
with what
girl.
You see.
Oh, do you give those withering looks as well, do you, Emily?
Oh, yeah, but they ignore me. They ignore
I mean, to be honest, I think I used to put my little brother in a headlock more than anything. So at least she's restraining herself.
Which is why you've never been allowed on the balcony of Buckingham Palace.
That's the only reason.
Is that the reason that none of us have been allowed on the balcony?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
James, do you have a favourite shot from the day? And if so, why?
Yes, I do.
Ooh.
And it's the look between William and Kate.
Yes, I love that.
And it happened, you know, quite a few frames of it because it wasn't fleeting. It was a real, and if you look, you can look at the minutiae of it because you're taking 20 frames a second.
Yes.
And so it goes from a little look and then Kate's smile broadens and it's lovely. And it's very much a welcome back. Good to have you back.
I agree with you, James. It was such a special moment because they've been through such a lot, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter. The privilege, everything's stripped back, isn't it? When someone's unwell,
yes,
that's irrelevant. It means nothing. It's a great leveller and that's the thing. So it's important and it's lovely to see that sort of thing. They're obviously a very strong unit.
Yeah, stronger than ever. James, can I just say on Saturday, the weather was absolutely horrendous. At the end of the balcony, Camilla was hurrying Charles out of the balcony. I wonder if you noticed that.
I always wonder about that sort of thing. It is very much a stage and all eyes are on them and all these cameras are on them and it must get a little bit uncomfortable after a while.
He spent a long time also on a podium outside the palace as one of the most incredible downpours was taking place. Taking the salute from the returning guardsmen. I mean, what was it like for you, let alone the king, standing there in all his military gear?
Yeah, just stood there saluting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's duty, isn't it? That really is duty. As someone who's still undergoing treatment, I believe, to stand there in that is ridiculous. But it kind of shows the character, I guess, of the king.
Is it slightly, I don't want to say foolish, because he's not foolish, but also standing out in the rain when you're ill, like...
The difficulty is, isn't it, when you plan these things?
Yeah. It's just a bit like, oh, no.
I've never experienced anything like that.
Really? I mean, it was insane.
20 years.
It was
no,
that bad.
Absolutely not.
It was.
No, that was
so
horrific.
I don't think any amount of preparation, then to have changed it at the last minute, might have caused more hassle. So I've certainly spoken to colleagues, James, whose laptops were completely saturated with water.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Stop.
Yeah, the last thing I did when I left home was grab 4 bin bags and a couple of towels.
You are a classic.
And I needed them. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't, you know. And I needed every... In fact, some people were saying to me, have you got any more?
Oh, no. They relied on you, James.
I've been there before.
Well, we can only hope that the opposite happens to Ascot
this week.
It's a good chance to dry out.
Oh, it's looking good. Yeah, no, it's looking good, definitely. The sunglasses are on, which they certainly weren't.
James, thank you so much for joining us. We are looking forward to seeing all your photos from Ascot and come back again soon.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
I've loved having James on the podcast. It's the second time talking to us, and I have to say that on Saturday I worked really closely with him with Trooping. He was sending me all the photos direct, and I do have to agree with him that when I saw that picture of William and Kate looking into each other's eyes, I was just speechless.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Andrea, you are a super fan. Like, oh my God. I feel like...
I'm not a super fan.
Can we just drop into the conversation? She wasn't even working on Saturday.
That is true. I think that is true.
Do you want to go to like a chess club with me or something? You know, should we examine some other hobbies?
I just appreciate a good photo, and James takes good photos. Also, my kids are really big fans of the airplanes. My youngest calls it the coloured airplanes. So I had to treat them to a little bit of a fly past.
Emily, methinks the lady doth protest too much.
I think she's going to be camping on the Mall.
No, that's not going to happen. Camping is not my
thing. I think she was actually there with one of those Union Jack plastic cats, and she just doesn't want to tell us.
That is lies. Right, on to our next guest.
Yes, so people might know him as the CNN anchor and correspondent. And if any youths are listening, he's also pretty big on TikTok. Emily, tell us about your friend.
It's Max Foster. I'm very excited to have him on the show.
Welcome, Max.
Welcome.
Max, thank you so much for joining us on a Right Royal podcast. This is really exciting.
I've been waiting for you to ask, Emily. I mean, I'm insulted that it didn't come sooner.
Well, you know, we like to save some of the best things. I don't want to say last because, you know.
Yeah. Every single person who's ever spoken to us will be offended.
Exactly. Anyway, long overdue, Max. Thank you for fitting us into your very busy schedule at CNN. We've had quite an update this week from the palace. I know you and I exchanged messages on Friday night because it was a lot at that time of a Friday night.
And we were off to do other things.
Yes, indeed. Give us your take on that announcement on Friday night.
Well, it's in the context, wasn't it, of Trooping the Colour, which we were all speculating about. I didn't think that she would be appearing there, but obviously we weren't getting a response from the palace about whether she would or she wouldn't, which obviously fueled the idea that, well, if it's not a no, then it might be a yes. You know, because of what she's going through, you just don't know how someone's going to feel, do you? And that's really what came through with the briefing that we had from the palace and how, you know, she's got to really try and get the balance right. In America, there's so many more questions, I think, than there are here about why we're not finding out more about the actual type of cancer. And I'm often explaining that the palace actually has been quite open to what it was, say, even 5-10 years ago about these medical issues that the family've got. So they are going to some extent to share as much information as possible. But I'm sure you found the same. But the social media reaction to the potential of seeing her for the first time this year was pretty excited.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a huge following on TikTok, haven't you? Was that something you were broadcasting Friday night? Did people go crazy for it?
I did a quick update on that. I think actually in those moments when there's an announcement coming up, a lot of people do actually turn on TV because they want to know what it is and they want to understand it. But I think actual Trooping the Colour event, you know, it was TikTok heaven, wasn't it?
We particularly enjoyed one of your posts on Friday night. I think you stumbled across some of the first arrivals down on the Mall.
Yes. Friends of ours, Emily.
Friends of ours, dating back to the days when we were doing periscopes on top of bins outside the Lindo Wing.
Well, absolutely. And I'll never forget Peter Hunt at the time. This goes back to the days when Emily and I were outside a hospital waiting for someone else's baby to be born, which is always a bit odd. It didn't feel very journalistic, but we all sort of bonded through that process. But Peter Hunt, who was at the BBC at the time, I was sitting with him on the floor and our friends there... You'll remember their names, Emily, because you've got such a better mind for names and detail. I think it was John.
I think it's John and Terry you're thinking of, yeah.
And John was sitting there all in his gear. He's one of the biggest royal fans. He's always at all these events. And I was saying, oh, can you believe those guys are here? And then I remember Peter Hunt saying, well, we're pretty much doing the same thing, aren't we?
Exactly. I mean, and they are diehard. They were out there camping, weren't they, on the Friday night beforehand.
I know, and it's raining. It was awful. But they, you know...
God, Sal, just do, like trooping.
You guys should have just put your Union Jack hats on and joined in.
I think
basically.
We should embrace it next time, Max. Maybe this is the way forward.
Yeah, the cutouts.
Yeah.
Every big event, they're always there. I think they've become part of the process. You know, they create part of the excitement. And once they're there, it really feels like something's about to happen.
Exactly, yeah.
Going back to trooping, I know you're saying, you know, it didn't feel like Kate would go, but I just can't imagine that she would... not be with her kids. You know, she is first and foremost a mother, and she has made that clear from the beginning. And it just feels like a very big event with the three kids. She would not have wanted anyone else other than herself to be in the carriage with them.
But would the kids have gone without her?
It just feels like a very big family occasion, and I think the kids were a big factor.
It was definitely a big factor, and I think that came through in the briefing that we were given, Max, didn't it? It was very much about the fact that she's there to support the family and to support the children.
You know, it was emphasised that she'd be in the carriage with the children, she'd be on the balcony with the children, on both balconies with the children. And that, I think, speaks to the narrative here that the reason we haven't seen her is because she's been, you know, away from her treatment, has been putting the children first. I mean, of course she's going to travel with the children, but the optics were also there to emphasise what she's about right now, and that is looking after them. Yeah, you wonder if they would have gone without her, but William would need to be with them, and obviously he had his focus on the military role he had.
And being on horseback, and actually while we're at it, let's have a special mention for Princess Anne, who rode Noble. This is the horse that caused the king a bit of trouble on the parade ground last year, and she thought she'd... I think make better work of it. And she did a good job. But I mean, I wonder if we're going to be seeing Noble at next year's parade.
Even the horses behave when Princess Anne is around.
Well, yeah, he was giving her a little bit of trouble, but she managed
handled
to get it
well.
All in hand.
I mean, she's incredible. She's in her 70s.
Yes.
Do you think she did it just for a little bit of adrenaline? Just like, I'll take this horse and just see what happens.
Let's liven things up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think, Max, I'm right in saying you managed to dodge the rain on Saturday, as did I largely. But the king didn't.
Well, the one positive of being called out on a Friday night was that we were all set up for trooping anyway. So we had a lovely tent.
Yes, excellent.
And lose, which you don't often have at these events.
I think this is important to mention as well, actually, to listeners, although you may not want to hear this, listeners, but for all the people who are out there broadcasting this and writing it and doing the social media and everything, it's a really long day on the ground, isn't it? I think you guys were down there from 7... As you say, there are some Portaloos in Green Park. But if you're one of the people in the Mall, and one of our dear colleagues,
oh my God,
Isabel Casey was, there is nowhere to go.
So what have you guys resorted to in the past?
Well, we told her to wear a nappy, but she refused.
I can't speak for Max, but you have to be thoughtful about your water intake.
There's a cafe, I won't name the brand, but they do give you a code if you buy a coffee. Oh. So you do end up having to go... for many coffees and not drinking them. But
I was going to say, there's sort of like a circular series of events there, isn't there? You get a coffee, you go to the bathroom.
Anyway, we've gone wildly off topic here.
We've gone off piste, yeah.
What did you make of the written statement from the Princess, Max? Because I thought that was very powerful, but also very much written as if it was aimed directly at other cancer patients in many ways.
Yes, but I also think that this is the idea about sharing information, medical information. So she's made the decision. She doesn't want to give all the detail, but she is aware that people want detail. And she's just showing that she's giving as much as she can. And she was so open about how she felt, which is very unusual for a royal statement. And I think she's appealing directly to people's humanity, saying, look, this is how I feel. I'm giving you as much as I can. And actually, I think that did come across. And it came across in the video when she announced the diagnosis as well. It felt very personal and giving, actually. And you know what she's like, Emily. She's not comfortable in front of the cameras even now. It's something that she pushes herself to do. And she doesn't like sharing all that personal information. So to people like us, we can see how much she gives. But I think for a lot of people, they still want more.
Speaking of her being as outspoken as she can, as you say, Max, I was really interested in what you said about American royal fans sort of thinking that they should know more about what type of cancer she has and that sort of thing. Do you think that when hopefully all goes well and she's out of the woods, as it were, we will find out eventually the details, or do you think they'll always keep it slightly private?
Well, I think if you look back on history, this is all new anyway. I'm not sure we'll ever know, because would you share those private medical details with people? And this is where they do draw a line. They do feel as if they do have some personal human rights. You know, there's a line on how much they want to share, and they feel they do have a right to medical information. Some people say they don't because they're publicly funded, but, you know, that's the debate that's out there. You know, I don't think we own them. I think we own them in public, perhaps, and they do have a duty to keep us updated on their progress because they represent the nation. But the line has shifted more to giving out more information. And I think Kate and William and Prince Harry as well, when he was in the fold, did push forward those frontiers a lot. They weren't nearly as formal. You saw them having fun. If you look back at the past 100 years, there's been such a huge transformation in how accessible they've become. But it's not apparent because it's been within our lifetime. But they are actually really progressive.
I think that the way that she expressed her vulnerability was really new for a member of the royal family. You do hear sort of general, we were so pleased or we were so sad to learn, etc. But the way she spoke about
the good days and
the bad days being weak and tired, I thought that was really quite refreshing, actually, because there's always been this never complain, never explain mantra, hasn't there?
And very human as well.
Traditionally, but this was her not really complaining, but saying, look, this is what it's really like. And I think that really will have resonated with a lot of people who know someone with cancer or who are going through it themselves.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear that they're taking each day at a time because of that. And she may not have turned up on Saturday if it was a bad day, you know,
exactly.
In her words. And, you know, I think the palace is very keen to emphasise that there will be more engagements. You will be told that she's planning to go. But if she doesn't show up, don't freak out and make it a big thing, because that is actually going to be normal.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's why it was worded like that? So it was like any sort of eventuality, there is an explanation for it and this is what it is.
And of course, and you have to think just back to sort of March, April this year, when speculation was absolutely wild.
I know.
Around her. And in a sense, it's sad that she does feel like she has to to give us these updates, but it's much better to have it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, isn't it?
I mean, people backed off so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there is that balance between public duty and privacy, and they are public figures, legitimate sort of voices, before she came out with a diagnosis, saying that it does come to a point where if you're in that role, you need to be more honest. But she explained so clearly why she had waited until she did to reveal the diagnosis. And it was on the last day of the school term, wasn't it? So she's handled it really effectively. But I think you're always going to have those voices saying, I don't think it's just about them being publicly funded. It's because they represent the nation. And part of the role of royalty is to be in our lives. And they do that by, you know, appearing regularly at events. And then we feel we have the connection. Then we feel that they can represent us. So if they don't appear, we lose the connection. And it's not just a one-way thing. It's not just that they need the public, but the public also needs them. And so they can't really have these long periods of being out of view, because they become redundant. But, you know, in this situation, she's trying to get the balance right. I guess you never will get it perfect.
What do we make of the photo she released? Because my initial thought was, oh, they're releasing a photo to kind of let us know what Kate is looking like these days ahead of trooping.
I felt like it took the pressure off a little.
Yeah, ahead of trooping, because you don't want trooping to be all about her appearance. But then she looked exactly like Kate. Yeah. So what do we think about that photo?
Well, I think it was a really beautiful photograph, first of all. It symbolised a lot of what she is about, her love of nature, being outdoors, mental health. But it also, I liked it because I think it made her look strong. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It kind of gave her some agency in releasing this new information. And it felt like it was more personal as well, coming just from her rather than her amid the lineup of the whole royal family on the balcony. I don't know what you think about that, Max.
It was interesting in terms of what you were saying about when she appeared and she looked great. I was on air yesterday with one of our anchors, Sarah Seidner, who's also been diagnosed with cancer. And she was asking me questions about how it all went. But at the end, I said to her, well, what do you think? You know, you're in a better position to tell me how you think she looked. And she said to me, I don't care how she looked. I think it's irrelevant. I just think it's amazing that she went out and did what she did. Because I know what it's like. And that was my bad, really, talking about how she looked. It is sort of irrelevant and people get caught up with it. Because, of course, you can hide how you feel with hair and makeup and, you know, you can put on a brave face. But you've got to think about how she's feeling inside. And she just showed that amazing duty, doesn't she? She just always steps up and does her job. And it was important because it was a balcony moment and they do go down in history. And she sort of did need to be there if she could make it. But it's a really full-on way of coming back in after 6 months, isn't it? In front of the
full-on day, yeah.
It wasn't like a small engagement with one camera.
She must have been so nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it really does speak to how dedicated she is, as Max was saying. You know, she's not a naturally self-promoting person, I would say. And I think it takes a lot for her sometimes to do the big public speaking events in particular. But actually, she looked like she was having a great time up there. She looked really happy to be there. And I thought that was lovely to see. She was pleased to be with the children. Her and William seemed to be having a lovely conversation. Her and the King did. In terms of optics, Max, how important do you think it was to have them all out there putting on this sort of united front in the current climate of a general election?
Elections always feel chaotic and they're very unsettling for the nation. And that's what a monarchy can do. It can represent stability and continuity. So it is important that she was there. I mean, I think they would have been fine if she wasn't there, but it's that star power, isn't it, that she brings and, dare I say, the others don't bring. You know, they're great stable figures and the King is obviously the head of the family and the head of state. But I think Kate is pretty universally liked and admired. And I think there is something about her which reminds people of the Queen as well, that stoicness. And that's really come through with her illness. But I have to say, one of the TikToks I did on Saturday featured Charlotte. And actually, the biggest comment off the back of that was, doesn't she look like the Queen? And she was giving Louis some direction. And she really did have, everyone's looking at her as the reincarnation of the Queen. And I do see a bit of that.
Can you just tell us what she's doing in the video for our listeners?
Well, it's the national anthem. And obviously, the whole family's got their arms straight down by their sides. And Louis's fiddling with his hands. And Charlotte just directs him to put his hands down, which he does.
In a way that you wouldn't contradict.
I love that video because Kate is behind them, does not even flinch. And I bet that Kate noticed what Charlotte did. And it must be so hard for a mum, because, you know, I'm a mum, to know that your kid is doing something and you want to kind of say, but you don't. And then you've got someone that backs you up, which is always Charlotte. Charlotte is always the one nudging him or telling him. And you can't even tell. Kate doesn't even look towards them. She's literally just always looking to the front, just leaving Charlotte to do her thing.
Well, it sounds like she's got her little director in charge there, doesn't she? So, yeah.
But he brings so much, I think, for the family because he's a normal kid, isn't he? I mean, any mother would worry about that on the balcony, but she's not worrying about it. She's not correcting him or anything. And I think that makes them so relatable.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to see even royal mothers struggling with their kids' behaviour.
But you can tell that Kate is letting them be themselves because, you know, Charlotte, it's not the first time she's done that with her brothers and yet she's doing it every time. So Kate hasn't told her, please don't do that.
I hope she's encouraging her.
No, she probably doesn't even like, they don't even talk about it maybe. They just let them be. And at this stage, it's quite funny because they're so unpredictable. Whilst we never got that with George, George has always been quite serious, hasn't he?
Well, look, I think it's really hard to judge on a child's character based on these little snippets that we see. But I do think you're probably dead on about Charlotte. just because of the reaction and the fact that Louis obeys her straight away. But having them there as a whole family unit also does a lot, as you say, for continuity and giving us a glimpse into the future, which is always good for the brand.
Yeah, they do put the kids first. You know, when I was always asked in the past, I bet William can't wait to be king. And it's like, he's never felt like that. He's always felt he wants to prioritise his family. And he's talked about that a lot and give them the stable upbringing that most kids are allowed to have. Of course, it's never going to be normal, but they want to make it as normal as possible. And that includes having a father around. So he's never been in a rush to get to that position. You do see them as a family, as a pretty regular family. And they don't have lots of staff at the cottage. They do it all on their own. I've seen them out and about. They're not surrounded by people. That change is extraordinary. You know, the idea, you know, the Queen obviously didn't go to school. Charles went away a long way to school. And then the boys, there were, you know, Windsor, Diana was so hands-on. And now you're seeing a pretty completely normal family going to a day school, going to all of the events at the school and living a normal life at weekends. But they have to sort of fight for it. I don't think people really realise that. This is what Emily and I sometimes see that other people don't, where you, it's just that loss of freedom you have in that family. You can't express yourself. You can't tell people how you vote. You can't just walk down the high street. They're all sort of basic freedoms that we all take for granted. But it's, you know, yes, they have all the trappings that come with it. And there are definite advantages to being a royal. But I'm not sure I would want to give up the fundamentals in the way that they do.
Yeah.
No, yeah, agreed.
Thankfully, Max, for us, I don't think it's ever going to be a choice that we have to face.
Well, thankfully,
no,
yeah.
We are very happy with that.
Can I just say that Kate's announcement seems to have come also at a time where William is suddenly becoming more busier. Like, he's doing more jobs, and later this week, he'll actually be going abroad. You know,
he's going to the football.
Yeah, well, I was good. You know, it's his pre-birthday treat abroad watching England. So it kind of makes sense that we know a bit more about Kate's state now that the summer's coming. Had you thought about that, how William's jobs were increasing?
Well, one thing to note is that they do tend to take a big chunk of time off in the summer. So yeah. I think it's important that they do get some face time in with the public now. But also, I suppose that it does signal that things are moving in the right direction, doesn't it? Because we are seeing more of him. He looks relaxed. But, you know, someone pointed out to me the other day, really thinking back on those first few engagements he did in the early spring. Remember, he went and did that fundraiser for the London Air Ambulance with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and he went to the BAFTAs.
Yeah, none of us knew at the time everything that was going on behind the scenes. And he's done a remarkable job, I think, of compartmentalising it, because in public, you'd never know that anything was going on behind the scenes.
It must be quite lonely for him as well, I imagine, going off and doing those things by himself.
I'm sure he'd be delighted to have her back at his side as soon as she's able to.
I wonder if this summer, though, with the Olympics, we would see more of them than we usually do in the summer.
Yeah, when they talk about summer engagements, it's got to be sport-related. I mean, you can't imagine Kate not wanting to be involved in the tennis or something.
I really hope we'll see her at Wimbledon. That would be fantastic.
If the weather's right.
Max, tell me about Royal Ascot. You're always one of the most well-dressed men on the day, in my humble opinion.
I'll take that.
You do rock a top hat.
It's kind of a uniform, Emily. It's not hard for the men. It's much harder for the women.
Well, you say this, but when we get those horrendously hot days, that's not pleasant, is it, for you guys?
No, especially when you've got a wool suit.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What does it mean to have the king there at Ascot? Obviously, he's not going to make it every day this week, but it's such a big legacy of his mother's, isn't it?
It is, because the queen, you know, that was when we really saw her personality, wasn't it? But she's so good at being tight-lipped about everything. And whenever she came in front of a horse, it all sort of gushed. I did think it was interesting that he has kept all the queen's horses and he's kept a commitment to racing. Mm. And you speak to people within racing, she had a transformative effect on the entire industry. She brought the whole thing together. And it is a big industry for the UK. And something like Royal Ascot is a big social event. And I think it's great that he's continued with it. I'm not saying he doesn't like horses, but it's not his passion. Mm. And obviously the Queen, she's got a passion for racing, but not in the same way as I think all of the other equestrian sort of things that she's into. And then I just wonder if Zara will get more and more involved, because I know that she's always been involved in the Queen's horses. So
that's a very good chance, actually.
Always interesting there. But I think that Royal Ascot, actually, if you want to sort of get pointy-headed about it, is one of those events which is in the diary. It doesn't move. And as I was saying about Kate needing to appear regularly, if, you know, you need to see them at these events for them to be part of the rhythm of national life, almost.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important from that perspective. But, you know, I don't think most people can relate to going to the royal enclosure.
Yeah, I think we should probably not complain too much about getting hot in our finery.
No.
Max, thank you so much for joining us. I will catch up with you at Ascot and we will look forward to hearing more from you hopefully later in the year.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Wow, Emily, have a good time in Ascot with your friend. I hope you enjoy awesome champagne and soak
without
each other's awesomeness.
Thank Send you. Us messages.
Sounded so genuine, Emily. No, it was great to have Max on. And interesting also to get that international perspective because he's obviously aiming his work at an international audience. So always good to hear different takes on it. Because I do think in this country we are perhaps more understanding of the royal family's need for privacy. Wasn't always the case, certainly in the British media in the past. But it's interesting that in America, there's a completely different take on things.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting as well, how they expect more answers than what they've been given. Whereas I think as a nation, we pretty much calmed down after we knew that Kate wasn't missing anymore. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, Max has got a very busy few weeks ahead, but I'd love to catch up with him later in the year.
Well, you will catch up with him this week. Have fun.
Okay. Andrea and I will be catching up with him later in the year. No, but seriously though, have fun. I can't wait to hear who you see and
see your hat choice.
And whether we win anything.
Exactly.
And see your outfit. Looking forward to it.
Hi everyone. If you're loving this episode of the Right Royal Podcast, you'll also love the Hello Royal Club, Hello's community for its biggest royal fans.
Members have access to royal exclusives, in-depth features and interviews, and incredible footage of all their favourite royals.
You'll also get to participate in polls, play royal puzzles, and receive personal videos and voice notes, giving you a more personal and interactive experience of Hello.
Oh, and I also send a weekly newsletter, which you can't read anywhere else, drawing on my years of experience as a royal editor.
I have to confess, I am a subscriber of your newsletter.
I should think so too.
Just a quick hypothetical question asking for a friend. If you haven't subscribed to your newsletter, which I definitely have, how would you do that?
Oh, Emmy, you just have to search online for the Hello Royal Club and join the fun.
No, I already did, but also good to know. I think that brings us to the end of the show, doesn't it?
It does. Thank you so much to all of our guests, James Watling and Max Foster, and to you two for joining us. We'll be back very soon with a special bonus episode all about Royal Ascot.
In the meantime, catch more from Hello with our news and entertainment show, The Daily Lowdown, available on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.